Welcome to Cannabis Connection World Podcast, where cannabis connectors meet and discuss the gospel truth of cannabis, the plant connecting the planet.
Welcome to episode 15 of Cannabis Connection World. On this episode in cannabis class, you will learn about the most recent federal case stating that hemp is illegal. And yet, the U.S. Navy continues to purchase hemp from China at an alarming rate. Then you will hear part two of my interview with State Representative Alan Peek, and what his plans are after leaving his seat as House Representative from Macon. And the Cannabis Connection calendar is back to let you know what's going on in our world. So sit back and relax as I serve you this cannabis content rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Cannabis class.
On May 7th, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit denied a lawsuit challenging the Drug Enforcement Administration's, the DEA, controversial marijuana extracts rule. In Hemp Industries Associates versus the DEA, the petitioners and other industry groups challenged the DEA's rule creating a new drug code number for marijuana extracts, which is defined to include any extract containing one or more cannabinoids that has been derived from any plant of the genus cannabis. This rule is so broadly drafted that it seems to prohibit extracts from parts of the cannabis plant that are legal or at least unregulated under federal law. Petitioners requested the court clarify or strike down the DEA's land grab rule. The court denied both requests. Rather than diving into the substance of the petitioner's complaint, the court dismissed the action on largely procedural grounds, as we recently predicted it would. First, the court pointed to the fact that the petitioners failed to make an argument to the DEA while it was accepting comments on the marijuana extract rule, and are therefore barred from raising those issues before the court. The petitioners claim that another commenter raised their concerns by submitting a question as to whether the rule would cover 100% pure cannabidiol by itself with nothing else. But the court determined the DEA considered this comment and altered the rule to clarify that it covered all cannabinoids. The court also determined that several of the petitioners' other arguments were waived for failure to raise the issue during the DEA's notice and comment period. Sounds like BS. The court did determine, though, that the petitioners' argument that the marijuana extract rule conflicted with 7606 of the 2014 U.S. Farm Bill, also considered the Farm Bill. It was not waived because Congress passed that law after the notice and comment period ended. So the Farm Bill allows states to grow industrial hemp, defined as having less than 0.3% THC on a dry weight basis, in states that have implemented agricultural pilot hemp programs. However, the court determined that the argument failed on the merits. The court found that the Farm Bill contemplates potential conflict between the Controlled Substance Act and preempts it. The final rule, therefore, does not violate the Farm Bill, but to the positive, the court is stating that when the industrial hemp portions of the Farm Bill conflict with the Controlled Substance Act, the Farm Bill prevails. Okay, so this decision makes it clear that the marijuana extract rule is unfortunately still valid, meaning that any products extracted from marijuana is still illegal under federal law, which has long been the case, according to the DEA. The great unknown is how this ruling will be interpreted. It's possible that the ruling could have a chilling effect on the growing CBD industry by emboldening the DEA to actively pursue products that contain CBD. On this point, it's important to note that Congress has limited the DEA's ability to use federal funds to prohibit the transportation, processing, sale, or use of industrial hemp, grown in accordance with the 2014 Farm Bill. However, it can be difficult to prove where a product containing CBD was derived, and the DEA may try to push its boundaries in light of the decision. Therefore, it's important that companies who are distributing CBD verify that it was derived from a legal source and prepared to prove it. State law enforcement agencies could also interpret this decision to crack down on CBD, especially in states that have not implemented Farm Bill hemp programs. These agencies are not limited by the budget provision that restricts the DEA enforcement activities. Last week, Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo informed the public that a months-long investigation has found CBD oils sold in local smoke shops contains dangerous substances, including one of the components of the synthetic drug known as Kush. Investigators with the Houston Police Department conducted undercover purchases of CBD oil, and almost every purchase they made was tested in the laboratory showed the oil contained an illegal substance. That substance was almost always the same substance found in Kush, said the police chief. Houston Police Department officers working with the Harris County Attorney's Office served search warrants at three smoke shops and seized large quantities of CBD oil. Lieutenant Marsha Todd from Houston Police Department's Narcotics Division detailed that many of the bottles obtained during the investigation were tainted with an illegal substance called 5-fluoro-EDMB, Panaca. Whatever that is, which is the same type of synthetic cannabinoid found in Kush. Now, this is a perfect example of why this industry needs to be regulated. Getting CBD from a synthetic version of the plant can have adverse effects, giving the industry unnecessary bad publicity. It is important that the CBD products you use come from legal, regulated growers. The Ninth Circuit could have been used this as an opportunity to state explicitly that CBD derived from a legal source is also legal. Unfortunately, it did not, because the court did explicitly state that the Farm Bill preempts the Controlled Substance Act. Though the silver lining here is that industrial hemp grown pursuant to the Farm Bill is not illegal under the CSA, which is the Controlled Substance Act, according to the Ninth Circuit. In addition, shortly after the HIA filed its petition, the DEA made the following helpful clarifications. The marijuana extract definition does not include materials or product excluded from the definition of marijuana set forth in the Controlled Substance Act. The rule includes only those extracts that fall within the Controlled Substance Act definition of marijuana. If a product consists solely of parts of the cannabis plant excluded from the Controlled Substance Act definition of marijuana, such product is not considered marijuana or a marijuana extract. Consistent with the court's ruling, this appears to exempt extracts that are derived from lawfully grown industrial hemp. It also exempts extracts derived from portions of the cannabis plant that are not included in the Controlled Substance Act's definition of marijuana, which include the mature stalks and seeds incapable of germination. That's the technical definition. All in all, this convoluted mess of marijuana, hemp, and CBD law could soon become much clearer if Mitch McConnell's Hemp Farming Act of 2018 is passed. The Hemp Farming Act of 2018 is a proposed law to remove hemp, defined as cannabis with less than 0.3% THC, from Schedule 1 controlled substances and making it an ordinary agricultural commodity. In late March 2018, we talked about this in a previous episode, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced he would introduce legislation legalizing hemp production in his state, Kentucky, and nationally. McConnell introduced the bill on the Senate floor on April 12, 2018, co-sponsored by Oregon Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkel. McConnell announced that Representative James Comer of Kentucky would introduce a companion bill in the House of Representatives. The companion bill was introduced on April 12th with Colorado Representative Jared Polis co-sponsoring. In addition to removing low THC cannabis from regulation under the Controlled Substance Act, the 2018 Act would avail hemp farmers of water rights and federal agricultural grants and make the national banking system accessible to farmers and others involved, and allow for other benefits of production of a recognized crop, such as marketing, agronomy research, and crop insurance. All of this mess is not going to stop me from using and selling the organic hemp oil that I get a distributor in Colorado. It is organically grown and it is a whole plant extract. I see what it does for the people that take it, and I will continue to provide them with access to a quality product that works. Now stay tuned for more information on the ongoing saga of legal hemp and its derivatives. That's enough for cannabis class today. That was a lot. So up next is part two of my interview with Representative Alan Peake from Macon, Georgia. I'm so excited to let you hear the conclusion of our conversation.
Would you say, can you think of, I know Haley touched you in a special way, reminding of your granddaughter, your own daughter, would you say that there was a certain patient that really, really has stuck with you over the last years?
Well, I mean, you can't overcome the impact that Haley had on all my life, you know, quite frankly. You know, my visit with her in the hospital, you know, changed not only my perspective, it changed the course and direction of my life, mm-hmm. quite frankly. And because my wife and I both have become so passionate about this issue, let me tell you this, you know, I get a lot of credit for leading the legislation on this issue, but the real heroes, the real folks who have made the real difference in this effort have been the multitude of families who have come to the Capitol and shared their story. You know, there are countless number of parents who have kids, particularly kids who suffered from seizures, who have spent an incredible amount of time at the Capitol advocating and for changes in this law. There's a family, Sebastian Cott, who has a young child named Jagger Cott, who has mitochondrial disease, who is now speaking at cannabis conferences all over the country after being involved in this issue and helping our effort. Blaine and Shannon Cloud, who have a daughter named Elena, who has Dravet syndrome, who have spent hours and hours at the state capitol advocating. I mean, these families who came and told their stories to legislators over and over and over, they're the real heroes. They're the ones that have really changed the hearts and minds of legislators over this last 4 and a half years.
Wow. You know, I know you said adamant the governor is, our governor, about not allowing cultivation. And he kind of had a soft spot when, you know, you tried to get House Bill 764 passed in the way that he said, oh, yeah, I'll let these diseases get added. I'll allow more people in my state to be forced to become criminals, is essentially what he was saying. Does he really understand the gravity of that all? Like, now there's over 4,000. The PT, House Bill 764 is not law yet, right? If it did, it wouldn't go into action until next year. So those people can't even register yet.
Well, it'll be effective upon his signature, which we expect probably sometime in May.
Right.
So those folks will be allowed to be added to the registry this year. But to the governor's credit, he's been consistent in his position from day one. He's been opposed to cultivation in our state. I think he fully understands that it poses a problem for folks to get the product.
Right.
And I think if we probably had another year with him in office, maybe we could get him there. But his position, to his credit, has been consistent. I don't want to allow cultivation. I want to see changes at the federal level before we do anything. And so, and quite frankly, if you step back and look at this issue, the real solution is a change at the congressional level. We need change in federal law.
Absolutely.
And so a rescheduling of marijuana or descheduling of marijuana, and there's momentum on that side as well, too. But for somebody like me, I
don't have that time to wait for that. Like, yes, we see it. It's close enough to smell. But the governor in the state that I actually live in has the power to provide safe access for me. That's my issue. Like, you're telling somebody else to take the responsibility when you hold the power to take on that responsibility. And so that's my frustration.
and that's been the frustration for me as well as we've dealt with this legislation. And that's why this next governor's race is so important.
It's so important that
we elect someone who, you know, on my side, I'm going to be supporting a Republican who will advocate for and is committed to finding a solution to this problem.
Right.
And there are a couple of the candidates.
Who have
committed to doing that. And so, that has been the challenge. Again, Governor Deal, to his credit, he's seen the benefit for many of these families who were able to in whatever shape or form be able to get the product.
It's a good thing that I haven't heard of any case where anybody is going to jail for possession of the oil or getting it shipped to their house. I think that patients would, you know, make some noise if something like that happened. So I guess that's a good thing. But
I hope Jeff Sessions and the Justice Department have much bigger things to worry about than arresting six citizens who are just trying to get
the medicine they need.
They're trying to get product that they legally have the right to possess in the state.
They have other things to worry about.
I'm hoping that there won't be anybody knocking on our door anytime soon. So.
I hope so too. I agree with that. I know that you're getting out of politics, which I'm so sad to hear. But let me ask you this. Do you think that it should be where legislators are not in my doctor's office? I mean, do you think that legislators need to be deciding what diseases or how much oil or what percentage of what needs to determine?
Well, the perfect scenario and what we would have liked to have gone to, in fact, we tried to go to several years ago, was two things. One, to take the conditions list off the table and leave that decision between
the
doctor and
the
patient.
Yes.
You know, if a doctor feels like medical cannabis would help whatever the condition the patient is, then that decision left with them.
Yeah.
As far as the THC level, the same thing. We ought to be at the point where we let that decision rest with the patient and the doctor. We're not there. Unfortunately. And so, but yes, that's ultimately we ought to take legislators out of the doctor's office and let the physician and the patient make that decision. So.
Right, I agree with you. Since you are not returning next year, it gives me such anxiety. Who will be our champion now? Which one of your colleagues can you trust or can we trust to continue the fight at the Capitol?
Well, I have absolute confidence that this medical cannabis issue is not going away just because I'm not up there. This thing is so much bigger than me, and so I have absolute confidence that there are a handful of legislators who feel just as passionately about me, who are more talented than I am, better legislators. I feel absolutely confident that there will be some movement. There's Micah Gravely from Paulding County. Heath Clark from Warner Robins area, both have had experiences with people in their district who have benefited from medical cannabis oil, and have gotten that vision and that passion because they've seen the personal effect on people in their lives. But there's a dozen other legislators that I could give you their names, who feel strongly about this issue as well. So I have absolute confidence, depending on particularly who the next governor is elected.
That's important.
That the fight will continue, and if the right governor is elected, I feel confident that we'll see seed in the ground in 2019, and by the end of 2019, we'll have product being available to Georgia citizens in our state.
Awesome. I hope so, too. And it is important, this gubernatorial race. So do you think that Mitch McConnell's legislation to separate hemp from cannabis federally as a Schedule I drug, do you think that that will gain some momentum even on a federal level? And I hate that he's trying to separate the plant because it's the same plant, but, you know, hemp would be huge for this country, for the state. I mean, we import over 700 million bales of hemp from China every year.
He's growing
it right here.
I think it will, and I think it'll probably pass. I think with McConnell behind it.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is that he's interested in it not because of the medicinal benefits potential of
right.
Of,
he doesn't talk about CBD.
It's all about the industrial aspects. And hey, unfortunately, that's usually the way it works. You've seen it with John Boehner just come out here recently. You know, these people have a change in heart. When they realize that money can be made off of it. That's always been the opposite of what we've been trying to do. We've been going to say, hey, you know, we believe in this because it improves the quality of life for citizens. Right. And if you know, somebody will make money off of it, I'm gonna let somebody else worry about that. And so, but unfortunately, that's the way the world works. And
right.
so, and so if their motivation is because they now see that they can make some money, then and it provides
safe access
for families and citizens, then so be it. Let's
right.
So, but answer your question directly.
Yeah.
To answer your question directly, yeah, they'll. Yes, I think it will. I think it will continue to build some momentum, particularly with McConnell's actions.
Behind it, yeah. And you're right. He has not even mentioned CBD or any medicinal value to the plant, but it has a lot.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
It's interesting how he's pitching it, because he recognizes the money. He knows what his colleagues recognize as a benefit as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have been instrumental the last few years in helping citizens of Georgia get their low THC cards. And in some cases, get safe access to the medicine. Will you continue to do that after you leave office?
Yes, I've had a lot of folks ask me, you know, what's my next step, and
yeah.
and I really don't know what the next step is for me
from
a professional standpoint. But there are two things I know that I will be doing, and will continue to do. One is I'm going to get actively involved in the governor's race, supporting a candidate who is committed to me personally that we will find a solution for the access issue. And secondly, in conjunction with that, is that we will continue to do everything in our power to provide medical cannabis oil to Georgia citizens who are legally and have registered with the state and have the right to possess.
Mm-hmm.
That is a passion that has become one for my wife and I, and it's driven because we have continued to hear and see and experience the success stories of Georgia citizens all over the state. There is not a day goes by that I don't get either a message on social media, an email, a text, or something from someone going, hey, thank you so much for helping us get this product. It has drastically changed the quality
saved
of my
life.
Or improve the quality of life for my loved one, and and so I mean we have developed such a deep conviction that this is worth every bit of risk, every bit of financial investment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've told folks until I either run out of money or I get thrown in jail, we're gonna keep doing this, or until the law changes in Georgia.
Then you can stop. And it's so funny again. Perspective gives you purpose, because.
Yeah.
After getting diagnosed just a year ago now, I really have felt the same way. I have made a charge, a commitment to being a soldier in this fight, regardless of the repercussions, regardless of, you know, the challenges that I face. I know how important it is to me and how passionate I feel about staying healthy and trying to live the best life that I can possibly live. And if that means that I just need access to a plant in order to do that, then, you know, I and other people as well, then I'm willing to put it all out there online. And same here, it's not a day that doesn't go by. Since I've told my full story of getting the diagnosis of chronic kidney disease and HIV, that somebody doesn't reach out to me on social media or in some way asking for help. And I'm glad to be able to do that. And that's why I did it. And that's why I'm doing it. So thank you so much. Please let us know, is there a way to keep up with you on social media? You know,
sure.
What is the best way to make sure that, you know, anybody has any questions or would like to reach out to you?
Sure. The best way is on Facebook. You can find me at State Representative Alan Peake. And you can send me messages there, send whatever they like. I'm also on Twitter, at Alan Peake, AllenPeake. They can reach out to me there as well. You know, I remain in office until next January, until my successor is sworn in. So I'll be a state representative for the rest of the year, and then we'll hopefully, depending on how the governor's race comes out, be either very involved if the right governor's elected or if the wrong governor's elected. You won't see me up there very much. So.
Got it. Yes, you'll be focusing on other things, on
what you're passionate
about now. So
that's
awesome. Thank you again for just, and my, I want to say, listeners, also on Instagram, when he replied to my post on Instagram, I realized, okay, this man is actually very in touch with his community. He runs his social media. But thank you again, Mr. Alan Peek, State Representative Alan Peek. Your commitment to this, your passion, your perspective has given you your purpose, just like me. And so I'm just honored to be able to have this conversation with you. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us.
Well, I enjoyed it and look forward to continuing to further discussions down the road as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking soon. Yes. We'll make sure to update our listeners about what you're up to in the next few months. Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Peek. Really. Thank you so much.
Thank you again to Representative Alan Peek for a great conversation, and thank you for fighting so hard to get the truth out about cannabis.
Cannabis Connection Calendar, informing you where and how to connect with other cannabis enthusiasts like you.
Today, Tuesday, March 24th, is the primary election. All registered Georgia citizens, please get out and vote today. Please, please, please. It's very important. If you are not registered to vote, you have until October to qualify for the November general election. That's when it really, really counts. You can visit gavotes.org, that's georgiavotes.org, to register and determine where your voting poll is located and to make sure that you're registered. May I remind you that we live in a non-referendum state, meaning our legislators and governor make the law. We as citizens do not have the power to create new laws, but we do have the power to elect politicians that will write legislation that align with our values. It is time to stop criminalizing patients that are trying to obtain their medicine. And it is time that we stop locking people up for personal possession of this life-saving plant. Please vote today and be a part of the solution. Up next, join us on Thursday, May 31st, at 7 p.m. for the monthly Minorities Medical Marijuana Meeting. It will be hosted at Mango's Restaurant, 180 Auburn Avenue, downtown Atlanta. I'll see you at 7 on Thursday, May 31st. The next event in the Cannabis Conversation series will be on June 29th at the Gallery in East Atlanta Village. The theme for this event will be focused on a book called The ABCs of CBD, written by Shira Adler. I interviewed Shira earlier this year, and she is a trailblazer in the CBD community. This book is an easy read that helps to explain what CBD is, its history, and how to use it in our everyday lives. Everyone who purchases a ticket will receive a digital copy of the book. Please visit my website for more information about the event, www.cannabisconnectionworld.com. Lastly, coming to Atlanta soon is a conference called Can Experience Tour. That's C-A-N-N Experience Tour. This health and wellness tour will feature physicians and researchers that are well-versed in the cannabis industry. I'm working on the details with the organizer to bring this tour to Atlanta at the end of the summer. In the meantime, you can visit their website to learn more. www.cannexperience.com. That's can with two N's, experience.com. Thanks so much for joining me on this episode of Cannabis Connection World. Please reach out to me if you would like to come on the show to tell your cannabis journey. If you have any questions about this show today, please email me at info@cannabisconnectionworld.com. Looking forward to connecting with you. Don't forget, cannabis connectors, you can follow all the adventures of the podcast on Instagram at Cannabis Connection Podcast or on Facebook at Mary Jane Connectors or on Twitter at CannaConWorld. Thanks again for joining me for another episode of Cannabis Connection World. Next episode, you will hear my interview with the amazing Dashita Dawson, the cannabis CEO and the creator of MJM Strategy. New episode every Sunday on Podomatic.com and Stitcher Podcast. You don't want to miss it.